getting a lot of poly people together in a room and talking while fucking.
Oh.
I think it would work for Ginger and me. I'm just saying, if we start getting some sapio stuff in there.
Oh.
The prophet said I talk myself out of more sex than a lot of people because I can't shut up. So maybe it's true. But I don't know. Maybe that would work for me if we could pair them both together.
Welcome to the Swing Set. Climb on up. There is always a swing available. On Life on the Swing Set, the podcast, we explore ethically non-monogamous relationships, the pleasures and passions, the promise and pitfalls. We discuss all aspects of ethical non-monogamy in a fun, open, and welcoming fashion, with a gleam in our eye, a bounce in our step, our hands down your pants. Ooh, sorry, got ahead of myself. We may be biased. In fact, we most certainly are, but we don't sugarcoat, and each of us speaks honestly and earnestly about our thoughts, ideas, and experiences throughout our very own lives on the swing set. Thanks for swinging by.
So, Life on the Swing Set is going to Desire this November from the 3rd through the 10th, and it is going to fucking rock, and you all should come with us. Ginger, tell us how awesome Desire is.
Desire is so fantastic. It really is truly paradise. It is not to be missed. You absolutely will be there with all of us, with great, great friends that you haven't even met yet. So you absolutely must join us.
And one of the cool things about our group is we have a wide range of people going with a wide range of experience levels, from nudists to poly folk to swingers, first times going to a resort like this, to veterans like, say, Ginger and the Prof, who've been there plenty of times. But I wouldn't say plenty, because I don't think there is such a thing as plenty.
There's not such a thing. We've decided that we need to be one of the people who've, quote unquote, lost track. And they're there. We meet them every time in Hot Tub Happy Hour. We want to be one of the lost trackers.
And we are going to do a whole bunch of things to get you mingling with other people, so you don't have to worry about, will I be able to meet anyone? Will I have anyone to hang out with? We're going to have dinners. We're going to have games. We're going to have seminars, including sex toy demonstrations and pole dancing demonstrations. Now, I'm mentioning this now because there's a little bit of a time constraint. Our lower price rooms, starting at $360 per night per couple, the Garden View rooms, are only on sale at that price until May 7th. So if you're thinking about it and you're on the fence, now is the time to contact Char Travel. Tell them you want to join Life on the Swing Set in Desire. You can email them at info@chartravel.com or give them a call at 215-321-4451.
So don't miss your chance to spend a week with Life on the Swing Set, the podcast, in paradise. Go to lifeontheswingset.com/desire.
Knowledge of alternative lifestyles is what slowly chips away at the walls put up between us and the, quote, normals. And opportunities for education about swinging, polyamory, and other forms of non-monogamy are growing. Peppermint rejoins us tonight to talk about the importance of sex-positive education and community interaction, and tells us more about his upcoming OpenSF conference. I'm Cooper Beckett, and with me tonight I have...
Hey everybody, it's Ginger.
Hi, it's Dylan.
This is Sherry B. Katz.
And hey there, this is Pepper.
So, before we get going on this topic, anyone have any business?
I have a little bit of business. I might be bolting in the middle of this show, but I love you all so much.
A little bit of bolting business.
Bolting business.
The B stands for bolting.
Tonight on the show. Mm-hmm. Yes. Well, that I hope you will say goodbye.
Of course.
Okay, before you go, before you leave us. Does anyone else have business?
I have a little bit.
A little bit of business.
So, a long time ago in a podcast, many moons ago, Ginger.
Yes.
I was talking about how poly people, or people that were interested in triads, I had mentioned that I felt like I wanted that because I couldn't get over something else and I felt childish. And I remember explaining to you that I didn't think the whole thing was childish.
Right.
But just
I remember.
That for me, I couldn't get over that. And
yeah?
I did. And I've been on a date a really, really good mind-blowing date where I thought everything was going to be awesome. And then I went on a second date where I introduced this person to my wife, and everything just kind of didn't happen after that. It actually doesn't feel like an awe, like, man, I wish this would have worked, or man, if only one thing had happened, or hey, someone did something wrong. It was more, I hadn't come across this before, but I kind of had a poly mismatch where the chemistry was right between this woman that I was going out with for, you know, all of two dates and myself, and everything seemed really good, but because I'm new and stupid, I guess I thought that I was ready, or that Tonya and I were ready to date one-on-one, to date separately. We're completely ready to do it. And what I found is, as the date to my second date got closer and closer, things between Tonya and I got more and more stressed out, or more and more stressy.
Oh, yeah.
And because she didn't know who this person was. And all she knew was that I had a really, really good first date. And I had the glow, and it might have been a little too early to say it's like legitimate NRE, but it felt like NRE, so whatever. And so that was stressful. And then, you know, she was worried, and I was worried about her, all that stuff. And come the second date, all of a sudden, hey, even though we talked about what we wanted, all of a sudden, it looks to this person that I was dating like I'm less interested in being with someone solo, and that I'm more interested in being with someone with Tonya. And so I feel like I kind of deceived myself. First of all, I think there's some truth in that. I still am interested in dating someone solo if I come upon someone like that. I may not be actively looking for it, like I'm looking for a girlfriend for Tonya and I, but it's there, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I almost feel, or this, some of the things that this person said to me made me feel like I was almost deceiving them in saying, you know, hey, I actually want somebody to date individually. And I didn't mean it like that, but it kind of came out like that. And so I kind of walked out of the whole thing saying, okay, maybe I want to try it a little bit more than I want to date somebody solo. But at the same time, I didn't mean to waste her time, and I didn't mean to give that impression or anything like that. So I'm sitting here, nothing's wrong, we still talk, it's all good, and we're going to see each other socially, of course. Especially because the chemistry was all good. But it was just such a weird feeling to have everything kind of fall apart and get almost cut off after the second date. Because it's like, well, I guess there's nothing we can do about this if we're going to stick to our guns on what we want. But things were good, and it was weird to have somebody come across with good chemistry and not functionally be able to make something happen.
This makes me sad.
The poly mismatch is hard, right? Or the non-monogamy, what you're looking for mismatch,
mm-hmm.
which is what I'm hearing from you.
Yeah, and see, it's even, well, I was about to say it's even worse. I'm sure it isn't even worse, but it also got me a little bit because let's say I came across somebody that I'd want to date, and then all of a sudden everything worked except the relationship part. Well, a good fallback for me would be to go ahead and fuck them because I also like to swing. But that obviously wasn't an option for this person either. So there's all this person-to-person chemistry that worked. There's all this sexual chemistry that worked. But now it doesn't go anywhere. And it was just weird. It was like a story without an ending, you know?
Does that make you want to reconsider your boundaries?
It's made me reconsider my boundaries. I haven't gone and made a decision on those boundaries. If anything, I changed maybe a little bit of procedure on it. For example, I had never introduced a potential relationship to Tonya before, and I did so by inviting her over to my house, and then, you know, having us chill and drink wine with Tonya, and that ended up being kind of awkward. It should have been outside at a neutral place, which is something that she suggested to me for the next person I end up meeting. I don't even know how I would approach it better, other than making that rookie mistake. But, Cooper, you had a question for me.
Well, I was wondering, you know, you said that Tonya was having issues with you being out solo with this girl, and I was wondering, even if you weren't intentionally doing it, do you think that part of the I'm bringing her home to meet my wife thing was that triad implication that you guys were looking for a long time?
Well, I definitely didn't bring her home to try and make that happen. I knew that that wasn't an option for her. So I was under no illusions that, oh, maybe I could make her fall in like or lust with my wife or something. No, there was nothing like that going on. I wanted Tonya to know who I was going out with so that it wasn't the shadowy person that she didn't know and have no idea of what was going on, you know?
Do you think that maybe it was too soon?
I guess I've never asked the question of, hey, when do I introduce this person to my wife? So I maybe should have asked that question from you guys before I did that.
Or asked the person that question.
That's true. Or I could have asked her. Yes. In retrospect, it was probably better that it ended sooner because it would have ended no matter what, I guess. But
the last time someone brought their wife on a second date with me, I never saw them again.
Huh.
I don't know if it's just like the kiss of death or something, but I think that might have been soon. There's something about the second date meeting of the significant other. It feels like a big deal. It feels like either there's a pretty high level of insecurity that they need to meet so soon, or that they're trying to get me in bed with both of them. That's always what I assume, actually.
That's so tough. Dylan, I'm so glad you shared that, because just from the perspective of the fact that Prof and I have both gone on dates, and I've continued to see the gentleman I've been referring to as the PhD. And I had a moment with him where we had seen each other a number of times. It was very chatty and fun, and we were doing a lot of sharing about turn-ons and different things because the conversation had gone there. And I disclosed that one of my really, really at that point unfulfilled fantasies, for lack of a better word, I mean, it's more than that, but is the dynamic of two men to myself and how that's a turn on for me. And it shifted things in that moment for him, where he then was asking a lot of questions, like in that same vein, Dylan, where it was like, oh, well, that's why you're here, kind of thing. And it really wasn't meant in that way at all, but it was just in the context of the sharing. And, you know, as it turns out, as we've continued to develop our relationship, he's actually open for a lot of adventure. So it works out fine in the end, perhaps. We'll see. But I can relate to that feeling of, oh my gosh, what did I just do? Like, I didn't mean to turn this corner. It's not there. There's no corner that I turned. You know, you're kind of backpedaling in the sense that, yes, that's something I want, but that's not a stipulation of this particular relationship. But it's really hard to be honest in that way, because it's something that I want and wanted and is on the table in a sense. And if it's not there for him, then that's fine. But I needed to be honest in that moment. So it wasn't necessarily taking him to dinner with Prof, although we're going to make that happen at some point earlier on. It still was that same kind of, like, all of a sudden things seemed to shift in that moment. And again, it processed in a different direction. But I know that feeling of, I don't want to say entrapment, but kind of feeling like, no, really, it's not what it's about, because it really wasn't. It feels uncomfortable, though.
Yeah.
Like you're trying to bait and switch.
Yeah, that totally wasn't it. But right after, it was like within a couple minutes of them meeting, it's like, oh, this is over, isn't it?
Yeah.
And and also, I didn't realize that bringing somebody home to your wife was analogous to bringing somebody home to your parents. It felt like that. And
that's so funny.
And so I'll never do it on a second date ever again, obviously, but it just I had no idea what the implications of this were, and I thought, hey, this sounds like a great idea.
But I also think that your heart was in the right place in the sense, you know, really honoring Tonya in that too, because I go to the place of prof, you know, me going on these dates, and the way we roll is such that he was not so much having to approve, so to speak, but he's like, you know, I don't even know this person. I don't know this person at all. When you're talking about this experience, you know, it's really difficult for me to do anything but sit here with my mouth agape because I don't know what to say. I don't know him. I truth be told, him going to the place of, you know, yeah, I am a little protective, and I think that's fair. I think that's fair that I am. And so, you know, as we kind of muddle through where we are, it is walking that line of really leaning hard on what prof needs, I will give him in this, and vice versa with me, with him giving me what I need with his independent dating. We're just, you know, I mean, we're just new to it all. And I would have erred on the side of caution like you did as well. I would have, but that's tough.
Well, and there are some poly people who actually, you know, meeting ahead of time is mandatory, right? It's
just, sure.
It's how they do things that, you know, if you can't roll with that, then you're not an option. It might be that just, you know, this wasn't what that woman was expecting. Like, maybe she was thinking it was more casual and this made it not casual, or maybe she was thinking that it was, like, a lot of people do their non-monogamy very compartmentalized, like, oh, you might have some other lovers, but I never want to see them or talk to them. And maybe she was thinking mm-hmm. she was doing that. I don't know.
Well, regardless, one good thing did come out of it. Even though I've been making fun of, you know, looking for the mythical unicorn that also wants to be with us on a regular basis type thing. You know, even worse than the swinger unicorns. I think we might actually be open to dating a couple at some point. If we ever actually had, you know, 2-on-2 chemistry there. So, or I guess it'd be 2-on-2 and then 1-on-1 because the girls and blah, 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 whatever. Yeah.
Well, I Aww. Still go back to Dylan. You should want what you want without apology. And it doesn't matter how mythical it is, that you just hold that out and are honest with people when you meet them. And, you know, I know there are women out there who want to be with couples. Like, it is fact. I know of them. They exist. And to go to the place of saying, like, you know, that their desire somehow is misappropriated, it just isn't fair. So there are people out there looking for all different kinds of relationships. And so to say one, to value one over the other, to say one is more selfish than another or whatever, it's just not fair. It's just not fair. So I, you know, hold the line, man, hold your vision.
I will.
Keep dating.
I will. So yeah, that was it. A little bit of bumbling and fumbling and good stuff like that.
I think you're going through the regular old growing pains. You're doing just fine, kid. I really do.
No, I just find it adorable when you call him kid.
Aw, but I feel like he's my little brother.
Aww. Oh, that's a terrible place to be when you're sitting next to a hot Cherubi Cats.
Oh, no, I'm sorry.
You didn't get friend zoned, man. You got brother zoned.
That's where you see them naked, but you still can't do anything.
Yeah, they'll change in front of you because they're just don't fucking care.
Yeah.
Brother zone.
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't mean that in a bad way.
Although having said
that. Lots of affection for Dylan.
Having said that, though, I do want to hit out the swinger club and just go and fuck like 4 different people because that would feel really good right now. It really fucking would. I need to get to a club so bad.
You need to find that thing called time.
Yes. Yes.
Find some of that, and then we'll totally head back to Couples Playhouse.
Excellent.
So tonight we're talking about sex-positive education and how valuable it is. And I think one of the reasons that I find the conventions and conferences and other methods of sex positive education so important is because they are encouraging and creating community. And one of the biggest things for me in this lifestyle, be it non-monogamy, poly, swinging, whatever, is the community you surround yourself with, because it's what helps you get over those moments where you feel like you want something different than everybody else you know, or you want something different than you're supposed to. That community is so very important.
Well, I have to agree with you. And I think people don't, it's weird, people don't understand this, right? Like, new to poly folks, I spend all this time convincing them that they should go find community.
Hmm.
And it's, and of course, you know, it took me like a decade, so who am I to speak? But.
Me too, Pepper.
Yeah.
It took me a really long time.
For fucking ever. You're like, oh, I can do this, no problem, right? And then you can't. Or I can't.
Precisely, yeah.
And it took me a really long time to like, get out there and be like, oh, I actually need to go, as it were, fish in the right pool. Like, go talk to the people who really understand what I'm trying to do. But one of the reasons, like, most of the events I hold these days are big. And one of the reasons is actually to just hold a big event. To, you know, to fill a nightclub with, you know, up to 300 people. And as a and when you get, say, 250 people in a nightclub, then people walk through the door and they're like, oh my God, look at all these people.
250 poly people, guys. It's
amazing. Right. This isn't just, you know, a random nightclub, but this is a nightclub full of non-monogamous folks. So, and half the reason I'm doing it is to just get people through the door and be like, look, there are lots of people. You may think you know all 20 of them, but you don't.
Well, that's what I find so interesting about what Kendra Holliday is doing down in St. Louis. Is she's putting together these sex positive events that don't go directly in a category. It's not a swing event. It's not a poly event. It's not a kink event. It's all of the above. And so when we went to the masquerade ball in St. Louis, there were people playing with the violet wand. There were people picking up other swingers. There were triad couples. It was fascinating, the variety of people you saw. And what I came away from that with is this overwhelming sense of warmth, of acceptance of this, everything's okay. You know, we're all weird in very different ways, but we're weird together.
Right. It's a big mess out there.
It is.
Full of awesome, messy people.
That's such a wonderful thing.
We may be a bit ahead of you, here in the Bay
Area. In San Francisco, like, really a bit ahead of the Midwest?
Yeah.
No. I think a bit is understating it a little bit.
Because we have scenes like that, right? Mm-hmm. Like, you know, I'm hosting play parties at a space that just, you know, any particular night you walk in, it'll be like, oh, well, there's paddling in that corner, and then there's couples trying to find single women and other couples, but then there's people dating independently, and all the rules are basically, like, picked up and thrown in the air and fall everywhere. And you really end up like with each person, you're like, okay, so what are you up to? Yeah, it's neat.
And there's such a variety at these parties. It's amazing that every time I go to one of your parties, Pepper, I meet like over a dozen new people, like over two dozen new people. There's always new people. There's everyone. There's the amount of non-monogamous people in the different varieties is overwhelming and heartening.
Right. And I hold these parties and I'll only know, like, you know, 50% of the people who walk through the door, 75% on a good night, you know?
Yeah.
And it's because it's just there's just huge populations in the area. Number one, we're totally spoiled. But number two, you know, people are coming in from a lot of different places. Like, you know, I meet swingers at events that aren't really necessarily swinger events. I meet people who are, you know, just sort of out for a sexy time, but not really non-monogamous even.
I'm interested if this is represented in a lot of, like, the conferences out there. I'm not as familiar with the conference scene. Is it generally, you know, sexy conferences, or are they more specific?
So that depends on which conference scene you're talking about. Like, the poly conference scene is one thing. And those conferences that I've been to, they were, like, poly, 100%.
Mm-hmm.
Big block.
Right.
Of polyness. And I mean, people would show up, right? Yeah, that's right. The huge wall of poly.
Then they combine to, you know, form Voltron or something.
I know, totally. But people would show up who weren't poly, who were just like, oh, you know, I was holding workshops at Burning Man this last year. And I got someone walked into camp who was like, I totally want to go to the jealousy workshop. Is it okay that I'm monogamous? I'm like, sure, no problem. You know, it's a jealousy workshop. Like, monogamous people have to deal with that too. No, mm-hmm. Yeah, no issue. So people will come in from all spaces, but the space itself is very much like a we're doing poly stuff kind of space. I'm talking my serious voice.
That was a serious voice.
Yes, very serious. But I can't speak to like swinger conventions, but the ones I used to hear about, like Lifestyles in Las Vegas, right? Like that seemed like it was, you're going to an event and it's a swinger event.
From yeah. What I have gleaned from swinger events, they are a lot like swing parties, only bigger.
Right.
And there's again, from what I have gleaned, there is less, let's sit down and talk about our swingerness. And more, let's go to the room and fuck like swingers.
That's what you guys make fun of us for, right?
That's what we make fun of you for?
I
like to talk about it?
I think we make fun of us for that, actually.
Well, that's very true.
I certainly do.
No, totally. Dylan's always quoting that joke at me.
I don't. But, you know, it'd be really great to have, like, discussions while fucking. So that way you could actually make fun of the swingers for just fucking when you'd be having nice intellectual discussions about jealousy and different time management techniques and also fucking.
I'm going to go on record and say.
And then you could demonstrate them too.
I,
be like, hey, you
I
know
cannot.
What? I need to give a little time to my partner now.
I don't
so
think I could stay
her.
Hard for during a jealousy conversation.
Maybe not a jealousy
it's
a, conversation.
It's about
a
the least sexy thing you could combine with sex.
Here, yeah. I'm going to allocate 5 minutes of my time, and I'm going to give 1.5 minutes to my primary partner, about 45 seconds to this person, and then you just stick your dick in whatever woman happens to be.
Stop. Just stick your dick. What? I don't think the poly
community
is... Well,
it doesn't have to be that way.
Or
you can share your time with multiple people at, say, a larger event, and then you could be within, you know, 2 or 3 people at once.
Oh, I.
So it's like all speed negotiation during sex. I mean,
I'm gonna go
great.
On record and say that Life on the Swing Sets presentation at OpenSF is not going to be planned by Dylan. I'm just gonna put that out there.
No, but I'll be planning the after party. So if you guys want to learn,
that's
the
fine.
Art of speed negotiation.
If you just want, you know, his dick stuck in. While talking to you about jealousy, apparently.
Oh, that is not a sexy conversation.
No, it isn't.
I mean, I've done the speed negotiation. I was at a party a while ago and, you know, did like the partner swap like during a scene that I was getting done with. Mm-hmm. But that's just because I knew my partner really well and we could like read each other's cues and we totally pulled it off. There wasn't a lot of talking, as it turns out.
Hmm.
I'm sorry, I've become enamored with this idea now.
Okay,
we're
gonna take a quick break so Dylan can think about his method to his madness.
Hey, Cooper, guess what?
What's that, Shira?
I just found the most amazingly sex-positive, eco-friendly, progressive, female-run sex shop.
Oh, really? This place sounds great. Who are these people, and how did they get the elusive Shira B. Cat stamp of approval?
They have the cutest name. They're called Smitten Kitten. Their brick-and-mortar store is located in Minneapolis, and their online shop is located at www.smittenkittenonline.com. They specialize in high-quality sex toys and equipment for people of all genders and sexual orientations. Handmade, one-of-a-kind items, non-toxic, medical-grade toys, educational books and DVDs, and even ethically produced porn on demand.
Oh, Shira.
What?
Get with the times! Everybody knows about smittenkittenonline.com. In fact, Life on the Swing Set has partnered with Smitten Kitten to give all of our listeners a 10% discount when they buy items from their online store. All our listeners have to do is enter the code SWINGSET at checkout, and boom! Discount.
No way. I can use it too? They have the super hot harness I got my eye on.
Absolutely. In fact, I invite you and all of our listeners to go to smittenkittenonline.com and use the product code SWINGSET. Not only will you get 10% off your purchase, but you'll also be supporting one of the most progressive and sex-positive businesses in the industry.
All right, Cooper, I'm on it. www.smittenkittenonline.com. Discount code SWINGSET.
You'll be glad you came.
Hey there, SWINGSET fans. In the podcasting world, ranking high on iTunes can be the difference between some listeners and lots of listeners. Do us a favor and hop onto iTunes, subscribe to our podcast, rate us, and submit a 1-2 sentence review. It'll take a few minutes, but it'll help us spread the word. If you're on a mobile device and want to listen to any of our episodes on demand, search for and download Stitcher, and our entire library will be available at your fingertips. Thanks for listening.
Welcome back to Life on the Swing Set, the podcast. Tonight we're talking about sex-positive education and community and the OpenSF conference.
Well, you guys are, actually. I gotta go.
Oh,
but
we're gonna miss you.
I hope. I know, but don't worry, because you could tell them all about how they can catch me later at OpenSF.
I'll tell them that.
Okay, okay. Awesome. Bye, guys. Go ahead. It was nice talking to you all.
Bye.
Talk to you soon.
I gotta say, there's a lot of sort of like sexuality classes out there, and I've given a number myself. And it's interesting to me, they often don't go into a lot of depth. Like, there's a certain sort of lowest common denominator thing going on. Like, you can, you know, if I look down the listings here in SF, I find lots of classes on, you know, how to give good head, right? But not a lot on, oh, I don't know, some things that got talked about in the last Swing Set episode, for example.
Well, those things don't always draw the paying, you know.
Well, and that's why, right? Yeah. Like, I mean, if you want to make one of these things profitable and really make it worth your time, you want to cram a room with like 40 people, 50 people, as many people as you can get in there, and give the class to all of them, and they all pay $20 at the door or whatever, and then you walk away with a good amount of money, and the venue walks away with a good amount of money, and everyone's happy. But even to sort of get to that level, you really have to have something that has a really wide appeal. So it's like there's all these sort of specific interesting subjects that are more advanced or more just narrow focus that don't get talked about. Like, I don't see them at the sexuality stores. I don't necessarily, you know, the stuff that's talked about the dungeon is like, your first scene.
Right.
Right? And it's not, sometimes it is. And now advanced needle play.
So it's like community college. There's a lot of introductions to classes.
Right, exactly.
And few advanced classes.
Which is one thing I'm trying to change with OpenSF, right? It's going to be a conference here in San Francisco in June, and we specifically said, oh, hey, let's hit a lot of these like very specific topics. And so we have someone talking on, you know, how to date if you're poly and you don't have a lot of money.
Oh, that's right? A good topic.
See? That's a great topic. I spent way too much money on
dates. Make a note to sign up for that class. Because I is broke.
And it's pretty specific. It's not like what you think about when you think about like a poly class, but still really useful. Just a slightly more narrow topic, I guess, or something that doesn't come up initially. It's not jealousy and negotiating boundaries and like those things you have to do those first 2 years of being poly.
Or the prep work for poly and swinging is often things like that. You know, you're trying to knock out those issues before you even get started.
Right. There's a lot of reading, and the reading sort of all covers the same subjects. And none of those are like, what do you do if you don't have enough money for going on dates?
No.
Yeah. So one of the nice things about the conference format that I'm really liking is I'm like, you know, I'm throwing down 40 sessions here from wonderful people who put in all kinds of great submissions. And because there's so many of them, we can have the jealousy topic. You know, here's your non-monogamy 101, how to talk about jealousy. We're going to have a good counselor give it. Go to it. And then we can have all these other topics that I'm more interested in because I dealt with jealousy years ago.
That's very cool.
Yeah, very happy about that. But so let me ask y'all, like, This is a very interesting question for me. Like, I've gone to some classes. I've gone to kink classes specifically a good amount. Like, if something comes up that I'm interested in, I'll go. I'm actually missing a class tonight cutting and stapling for y'all.
For y'all wow. actually in the description?
No. Cutting and stapling was the class. I'm missing it for you.
Ah.
For the swing set, yes.
For stapling, huh?
Yeah, stapling. No stapling for me.
Stapling. All I see is a staple gun. That's all I can't even move. That's it. That's all
it's
I got.
Of, it's sort of like the staple gun's little brother, but I think we're getting off topic.
Yeah. Let's move. Let's saunter past.
I'm interested in hearing what classes y'all have gone to. If any. Maybe you haven't gone to any at all.
Well, and that's what I'm listening to is all of the great stuff that I could be enjoying if I were somewhere else. And that's the hard part is I've experienced, you know, seeing the flyers, you know, I'm out here on the East Coast of, you know, great blowjobs. Well, okay, that could be fun to meet some fun people.
Ginger does not need to learn that. She's got a handle on it.
Thank you, sexy. So there's that. And those are, you know, the idea of being in an educational, fun, playful place with people mm-hmm. is awesome. But in terms of going to the place of, like you're saying, Pepper, the more advanced or more interesting topics, or in my case, you know, I would like something to be more discussion oriented and deeper. Mm-hmm. It's not in my geographic area. So that's what makes it a little bit harder is wanting those things, but not necessarily having access to them where I can, you know, hop on my bike, hop in my car and go and meet up with folks and enjoy something like that. So the idea of a destination conference where I have access to lots of different sessions and also...
And you're staying in the hotel with them, so it's easy.
Absolutely. And then the social life that comes with mm-hmm. it is pretty cool. So I'll just say from that perspective, like it all sounds awesome, but for me, it's much more about just having to decide which destinations I want to hit mm-hmm. to go to those conferences.
When for me, you know, I seem to always find out when something is occurring, like the day it's occurring. And I live a good deal outside of the city of Chicago. So it's far enough that if I hear something's at 6 o'clock tonight, I'm probably not going to be able to get to it, you know, because of traffic and such. But it's obnoxious. Like, Christopher Ryan was here. I wanted to see him. Didn't know he was here until the day he was already given his thing. And it happens a lot to me that I find out about a thing. So most of my open sexuality education has come from the internet and podcasts. And I think that was what drove me to start one, is just creating that virtual community. Because it is hard in a lot of parts of this country to find legitimate, interesting education that isn't just the how to spice up your marriage in 69 sexy days.
Right, like the sex educator version of a Cosmo cover.
Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. You know,
press a warm stone into his anus. What?
You don't let that one die.
I won't let that one die. It's obnoxious and weird.
Dude, they have some
of that in the Cosmo?
I think Kidder told me about it. It was from a Cosmo or one of those magazines. It was take him for a hike and Sir Tip is I totally mispronounced what I was trying to say, but sort of secretly pick up a stone and keep it in your hands, and then later when you're making love, don't put it in, just press it against his anus. It just seems like the most odd and awkward suggestion and very unlikely to end well.
I mean, seriously, yeah. Like, I don't know if any of you do this, but I never do this. Go to the grocery store, pick up, like, Cosmo or Red Book or one of those other ones. Maybe don't buy it, but stand there and like read some of those articles.
Oh, yes.
And you'll find that like 80% of it is stuff that you're like, how did you not know how to do this while still having sex? And the other 20% is like, oh, God, really?
Yeah, why would anyone ever do that?
I know. I noticed that I don't know if it was the latest Men's Health. It may have been a month ago. It said sexplosion on the cover.
Everybody loves a sexplosion.
A sexplosion. Like,
Marilyn does them all the time. That's what those are called, right?
I just went to that place where, and then I think it said something like, there's alliteration. So I noticed it was like 27 sizzling sex secrets, sexplosion. And I was just like, someone just, oh my gosh, it's just painful to read. Yeah. And I just pity the gentleman who sees that and thinks, I would like to be a part of a sexplosion. I'm going to pick up this magazine and take it home with me. And, you know,
this is going to change our dull life.
I don't know what to say about people who are moved by sexplosion.
I mean, it may be a little judgmental on my part to assume their life is dull, but
if you're taking sex tips from Cosmo, then your life is dull, or your sex life is dull. I can say that.
Yeah. So.
Because those are all mostly things you should already know anyways, if your sex life is not dull.
But they're seeking a sexplosion now, and those 27 ways. Let's be clear, Jen.
There's no way anyone who's buying that magazine is getting a sexplosion.
But that's what makes me sad.
I know. It makes me sad, too.
Okay.
It's false advertising. Yeah.
Okay.
They're selling someone on something they're never going to get.
Until Men's Health says, you know what, guys? You would enjoy a finger deep in your ass. You'd probably enjoy a cock deep in your ass because your prostate is like a G-spot. Until it says that, it's worthless information for men, really.
It's important to have priorities.
It is. I really believe that.
And you're right. You know, it's just
because it's not telling them the one thing that they need to hear. Because guys know how to get off. Everyone knows how to get. All guys know how to get off. But to get off in a unique and different way, it's not telling them that.
Well, so much of American culture runs on this, like, on this tease, basically. It's like, oh, mm-hmm. You're interested in sex, aren't you? Because, you know, we've set it up so you probably aren't getting any, and you don't have any information about it. But anyway, so you're interested. So here we go. We're going to give you some tidbits of information, right? And the tidbits all turn out to be pathetic.
Right.
Right.
So then you don't actually have any more information, so you go back and buy the next magazine.
And not only that, but I wonder how many people actually come out of that kind of, you know, it's like that book we were talking about on the last episode. It's a sneak your toe in to a slightly kinkier life.
I don't even think these magazines do that.
No, but I think that's what people are doing when they buy them. The magazines don't, but that's what they are craving when they do it. So if they're sneaking their toe in and trying something different, and maybe it doesn't work out or it blows up in their face or they shove a fucking rock up their boyfriend's ass.
Hello, emergency
That
room.
Could completely discourage them from ever stepping out of their comfort zone again.
Yes.
You think?
Yes.
And so they come out of this search for knowledge worse off than they were in the first place.
I was just walking outside naked and I fell down and all of a sudden this rock went up my ass.
I fell down on a small pile of stones.
Yeah, there's no
excuse
for that one.
It's the damnedest thing.
Oh, Dr. ER stories.
But I think that's why the concern for general, I'm going to say mid-America, is that if you go to some type of educational place, you are coming out as being interested in that thing. And that is something that middle America still needs to get over by and large is... that's why I think that these higher end sex toy stores are so successful with the simple classes like the blowjob class or like a G-spot orgasm class, because they're doing something that is still mainstream. They're doing it at a classy place, but you put an educational situation in there, and then you have to specifically say, I am coming because I'm interested in hearing about this. And that's a bold statement to put forth for a lot of people.
Yes, especially if it's something other than, like, you know, like you're saying, something other than blowjobs, like I am going to a whipping class,
yeah,
or something ridiculous like that. You know, it's much more of a, wow, I'm interested in this thing, which is very clearly marked as perverted.
Exactly.
It turns out there's a lot of things like that. But anyways, those of you who are interested in going someplace that will mark you as perverted.
do you get a stamp at the door at OpenSF pervert?
You know, I was thinking of giving out these name tags that say things like, you know, ask me about poly, or ask me about swinging, or ask me about BDSM, right? Or ask me about open relationships, and people could just wear it, and then people would know to ask them if they have questions, right?
That sounds cool.
So yeah, maybe, actually, maybe you're marking yourself right there at the front door if you're going to be one of these people.
That's not a bad idea. I would love to walk around like that. I like to educate people, even if I have to sometimes admit I'm not sure about something. I can at least find somebody else wearing that blue tag and say, hey, this person looks like he knows about that.
Right. Well, because, you know, I mean,
it's like Best Buy. Dylan will find a manager, a poly manager for you.
Yeah, there you go.
It's like, I'm not sure. Let me ask my manager.
you just got to refer it to the right department, really.
Yes, exactly. But so I'm really looking forward to this event in June as well, because it's giving me an opportunity to go to all these sessions that, like I said, I would just get stuck in the suburbs when they're happening in the city. And I don't have to worry about that because I will be upstairs when I'm getting ready to go to them. So I'm just going to come downstairs and go to them.
Yeah.
It'll be awesome.
We have some really fun ones. Things that aren't necessarily like non-monogamy related. We spent a lot of time talking about fisting last time. We are actually having an anal fisting class taught by this excellent Leatherman.
So anal fisting on my list.
Writing down, right? And you know, it's in a hotel, notes. So we're not gonna have demonstrations or learning in the class itself. But see, we have this associated play party, maybe more than one, and so we're gonna try to bring it there as well. So it's gonna be like a lot of
hands-on demonstrations.
Hands-on demonstration. That's right. Fists on.
Dylan, that was better than everything you said that was supposed to be funny on the last show. I'm just going to tell you that right off.
Brutal. Have you not caught on that sometimes I enjoy being terrible?
Sometimes.
No, I like that idea. I like being able to... I like the idea of saying something or being able to demonstrate something that we've talked about.
Absolutely.
Yeah, and they do this at kink conferences all the time, so I wanted to include a little bit of like that vibe of like, yes, we are actually going to do this. Let's show this thing, and so
and make people feel comfortable about watching it too.
Right. Well, and that's why it's important to incorporate like sort of a nightlife aspect. I'm really trying to make this a, you know, half workshops, half social kind of conference. Because I've heard from people in the past, they'll say, "Oh yeah, the conference was fun and I learned some things, but all the real magic happened in the hallways between the sessions." Mm. And so I'm trying to, you know, create social spaces that are like the hallways between the sessions. And
well, that's
parties.
When Dylan will be there as swinger president candidate.
That's right. Yes. He needs to.
you need your placard, your sandwich board, and nothing underneath. Remember, you promised, right. Dylan.
I promised.
Or said maybe. I don't know that you promised, but I'm going to hold you to it anyway.
Okay.
And you know, Shira B. Katz, who isn't with us now, would so make up a sandwich board for you to wear.
Yes, she would.
It would probably be short, though. Because she'd enjoy that.
It's okay. I have great legs.
There you go.
Awesome.
Are you going to talk about flexing your thighs now?
he likes to talk about flexing his thighs, Pepper.
Well, I like it when he talks about flexing his thighs, so... That's okay.
What I think is awesome that we're going to get to do at this conference is you said you don't have a lot of swinger representation in San Francisco stuff that you throw.
Right. There's some people. Well, so San Francisco, so we have these parties that we've been talking about that are just like a big mixed up mess. And I think in some ways they co-opt what would be swinging other places.
Mm-hmm.
So we definitely have swinger scenes out here.
Well, I'll tell you, some of the things that Shira has described about your scene sound awfully swingery.
Well, exactly. Like, you know, we're having sex parties.
Yeah, some of the people there would probably be loath to hear me say that.
Yes, it's true. And swingers might be horrified, in fact, to hear you say that as well. Yeah.
Yeah, the swingers like to be horrified just like the poly people.
Yes. It's unfortunate.
Which is why one of the things, you know, when you and I were first talking about maybe us coming out to do this, I found it was very important to emphasize that a lot of the ways, you know, the swinging community views the poly community is completely incorrect. And a lot of the ways the poly community views the swinging community is completely incorrect. And we have this, you know, warm nougaty center that is really what most of us are. And that's so awesome to be able to recognize that, because once you take off the, you know, as someone who identified strongly as I am a swinger, once you take off the I am a label and just make it a I swing, then you can add all these other modifiers, as we mentioned, like Mega Man. And it's so cool to not be in a niche anymore, but be able to move freely through the non-monogamy, the open, the SOP community, because you don't have to worry as much about are your actions going to be perceived differently. It's all about a negotiation within every relationship as to what the relationship will entail, which is really cool.
Right.
And I think that's going to be awesome to talk about to, you know, audiences who may not even look at it that way.
And the audience, you know, we're getting a lot of new people at this conference, and we're getting a good mix actually of new people and people who've been doing it a while.
Very cool.
And the audience is not like my standard poly crowd.
That
comes out to everything. So, and I didn't put a question on the ticketing form like, do you identify as swinger or open poly? So I don't even know who's showing up to this event. But I'm really hoping that it's going to be a big old mess. And that's important to me because it's funny, you know, I see these communities and they seem really siloed sometimes. And it's like, well, you know, if there's a jealousy workshop, right? If you're non-monogamous or even just people talking about jealousy, right? If you're non-monogamous and you want to, you probably have to deal with jealousy on some level. Mm-hmm. And so you should go to this thing or talk about jealousy or deal, you know, sort of address it in some way. And it seems silly to me that, like, there's this group over here that doesn't even know about the things going on in this other group over here.
Exactly.
Yeah. And I think that's breaking down a lot. Something interesting happened at a poly conference recently. I wasn't there. But someone who was there was from the Florida swinger community, and he gave a session, and what he said in the session was, you know, hey, poly community, watch out. There's a bunch of swingers coming your way. Because they're like, oh, you know, the swinging thing is fine, but, you know, maybe we want to do it and then perhaps date in this other way as well, much like mm-hmm. has been happening to a couple of folks on the podcast here. And that's great. And we're just going to do that. And we might start showing up to your conventions and stuff like that. And it goes the other direction as well. You know, there's poly people who've been poly for like a decade and are like, wait, poly people go to sex parties? I think Shira said that, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
And it's absolutely been going on. So.
And she also, I think, tried to keep it covered up for a while. Because once you know, I started talking to you and started finding out, you know, what San Francisco poly that she calls it is, that sounds a hell of a lot like what we call swinging here in the Midwest.
Mm-hmm.
it was impressive. You know, and I think she was trying to keep that from me.
Right. Well, and a lot of people out here are just sort of beyond labels. They're like, they might identify more of a particular event
mm-hmm.
than anything else, and then you just don't even know anymore. There's a lot of that.
Fun fact. So I know I mentioned earlier that I had my little poly fail. Well, Tony and I are still dating a lady between the two of us right now, and I mentioned that I wanted to take her to the club and the swinger club with the, you know, I didn't even have to say, and by the way, we wouldn't try to get you to play with other people, and just kind of mentioned it to her, and she's kind of interested in joining us. So
very
yeah.
cool.
Right. Well, in some ways it's just the barriers, right? Like for, I mean, even now I don't know the swinger events to go to in SF, right? You know, I've been to one and it was good. But it's like, you know, it's the getting in the door barriers. It's like, oh, can I pay for this? If it's a gender balance thing, do I need someone to go with?
Mm-hmm.
And all that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Or, you know, one of the places I go to, it's not a gender thing, but you have to have a buddy. Like if they're on the buddy system.
Do you also have to hold hands?
Absolutely. The whole night. Even when hooking up with other people. That would be the best.
that is an interesting kinky challenge right there.
A little twister.
You must hold hands at all times.
That's how the playroom ends up looking like a wall of flesh. and so that's, you know, that's a barrier to get in if you're not used to that sort of thing, right? So, yeah, you know, the swinger websites, which sometimes you have to get a reference. Right, I got up on some website because wanted to advertise stuff, and I have yet to get my reference. So I'll come to y'all to have you help me out with that.
Oh, we can take care of you.
I think you probably can.
We know you.
You know me.
You're awesome.
That's right. That's right. So there's always, you know, because non-monogamy is so stigmatized, there's always barriers to entry. So I think that keeps these communities from maybe mixing as much as they should.
And just think of what a powerful community they could be if they mixed more.
Right. Well, that's so much my message. You know, there are so many more people doing this than you think there are.
Mm-hmm. Well, and even the, you know, the extended kink communities, too. We could all completely overwhelm the vanillas. And every time we say the word vanillas now, it sounds a little weird because we had such a big deal out of it in that episode. But yeah, we could totally overwhelm them because we are legion.
Well, there may be more monogamous, or at least pretending to be monogamous people, than non-monogamous folks.
Let's be honest. There are not more monogamous people than non-monogamous. There are more liars than non-monogamous.
That's true. Absolutely.
Yeah. But there are not more, you know, yeah, that's an incredible bone of contention with me.
Right. But even so, like, you know, there's a good, like, solid percentage going on.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you include everyone who's just sort of an arrangement or poly or swinger or still doing that open relationships thing or whatever it might be that they're doing.
So I'm going to ask you, what would you recommend? Somebody's listening to this show and thinking, wow, that sounds like it would be cool to go to a convention where they talk about interesting, fun things like anal fisting. But I'm a little overwhelmed because they talk about things like anal fisting. So what would you recommend to that person who's probably going to sit there and be like, you know, I'm monogamous. I don't know that I belong in this group, but I'm interested.
Oh, well, I didn't know which direction you were heading. So I was like,
I'm going all different directions. What would you say to any of those people?
I'm going to recommend the threesomes class. Oh, wait, you're monogamous. Right. Okay.
I'm monogamous right now, but who knows? I could come back from this trip with my eyes wide open.
Well, you know, we've actually got a number of sexuality sessions. For example, we have one of the people, Charlie Glickman, one of the people who does a lot of stuff for Good Vibrations, which you may have heard of. It's a sex toy store here in Boston. They sort of started the whole female-friendly sex toy store craze.
Like, did you say Boston?
Yeah. They have they have shops here and Boston. And maybe some other places. I don't know. But
really?
You know, like,
I thought it was only San Francisco. Well, good for Good Vibes.
And it, very similar to like Smitten Kitten, Toys in Babeland, like all these places, they all have the same business model. which is like, we're going to be a sex toy store that women actually want to walk into. But we have one of the organizers from there coming over, and he's going to talk a lot about like sexual shame.
Ooh.
So sexual shame, getting past it, getting the sex you want, sort of embracing the love you want, and sort of letting go of the shame. And that looks like a really exciting session, which is totally reasonable for an entirely monogamous person.
So you should come, even if you're not certain where you fall.
Right. And, you know, it's going to be a big conference. There's going to be a lot of stuff going on that's a big conference in terms of content, right? There's going to be a lot of different stuff going on at the same time. And so, you know, if you don't want to go to the fisting class, because a little freaked out by that, you know, there will be some sort of basic non-monogamy skills class. There will be some perhaps more advanced non-monogamy skills class. And we're doing a lot of stuff around diversity. So there may be a class that's, or a session that's really sort of talking about like non-monogamy and some community that you might be in that's normally not served by these sort of lowest common denominator sexuality classes that you see a lot. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And you have some awesome keynote speakers.
Oh, yes.
Let's talk about them because I'm so excited to finally meet Tristan Taramino.
Yes, I've met her briefly in the past, and she's very charming. But mostly I'm just impressed with how much she's done, right?
Oh, she is like the Stephen King of sexuality education and porn.
Right.
Stephen King of porn.
Like right now she's doing feminist porn, but before that she introduced butt sex to women, basically.
And she wrote our non-monogamy Bible.
And she wrote Opening Up, our non-monogamy Bible. But before all that, she was doing a column on the adventures of queer women in, I think, On Our Backs, right? Mm-hmm. You know, she's just been around forever doing an incredible amount of amazing stuff. And so we're really excited to have her speak. And we're going to have her get a really exciting speech together.
That sounds excellent.
The other two are going to do a co-presentation. One is Yosenyo Lewis, who is a transgender health activist who also does a lot of non-monogamy stuff. And the other one is Ignacio Rivera, who is a trans and people of color poly activist. And Ignacio is going to, well, and the two of them are going to talk together and do some kind of interesting speech. We're giving them Saturday early evening. So it's all very exciting.
Cool.
Yes. And we're really looking for like interesting and challenging. That's what we're going for here.
Hmm. Well,
That's awesome.
What advice do you
wait.
Have for people who are just looking to seek out some education? Should they go to the web? Should they go to books? Should they go to community? Yes, just all across the board?
Well, yeah. I mean,
if they're listening to me right now, clearly they've already gone to the web.
Right. And books are good too. But, you know, I think people do this thing where they spend too much time in thinky space, I want to call it. Like, and I mean, I definitely see this in the kink community, right? There are people who like get on FetLife and they learn all sorts of stuff or sort of think they're learning some stuff, but they really only get an outline.
Right.
Because at least for kink, like most of what you do is personal, you know, it's in person.
it happens in swinging. I know a lot of people will research it to death or talk it to death before they will meet somebody, and then they may never meet somebody.
Right. Or, you know, they'll meet someone, and this definitely happens with poly too, right? You know, in our workshops, we're like, we say, you won't know how to deal with jealousy until you're actually dealing with it. Like, you can read all the books and get all prepared, and it'll still, like, throw you for a loop because it came in sideways in this funny way that you never expected. Just go do it.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Be ready for it to be difficult sometimes, right? And I think that same principle sort of applies. It's like, go find people in person and talk to them, or in some cases date them or whatever, you know. Whatever it might be. And that's, you know, it's good to prepare, but only so much after
That's a discussion I've had with a few of our swinger friends who've been swinging for a long time and have been vocally nervous about our exploration of poly dating. Is I pointed out that, you know, we're taking big risks in our relationship, but those big risks are the ones that pay off so well. Swinging in general was a huge risk in our relationship, and it paid off so incredibly well. And what we've, you know, what we need to the deal we make with each other is that we can take this risk, and if it does blow up, we can backtrack from it.
Right. And I mean, really, you know, switching non-monogamy varieties is not much of a risk as going there in the first place.
Agreed.
Like, that's the hard part. Getting past that first, you know, year of jealousy, right?
Yes. Yeah. Or that first, you know, cock in your wife's mouth.
Yeah, that one. There we go.
That one specifically.
An important
that first
milestone
one.
Right there. Yeah.
I remember it vividly.
The tornado of cocks. Yeah.
Cocknado.
I shamelessly stole that one from Gavin. Let's give credit where credit is due.
Oh. Well, he's just sitting at home bummed that he doesn't get to participate and has to read all about it on Twitter. And I told him he's welcome to join us anytime.
He should.
I think he should.
You could get Swingertastic up in here. It'll be awesome.
Swingertastic. Oh, I love it.
You know, we haven't talked too much about the nightlife at OpenSF, so I'd like to throw some things out there.
Okay.
And also the dates. OpenSF, June 8th through 10th in San Francisco. Get your butts here. We will treat them right.
Remember, all four swing setters' butts will be there.
I know, which is incredible. I can't believe that's actually happening. I'm so happy.
It has never happened in the history of the world.
In the history of the world.
That may make it sound more epic, but it's true. But it has never happened that we've all been in the same place at once.
You might be able to say that about lots of people, but I guess most of them don't have podcasts together.
Very true. Most of them don't have podcasts where people assume that we are all together.
In fact, on the podcast. Yes. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
And you know what happens when you assume.
More ass.
More we're going to talk ass about asses right. More. Yes, yes.
So, yes, tell us about the nightlife at OpenSF, because it's very exciting. I'm actually far more excited about the cuddle party than I thought I would be.
Right. Well, it's definitely a different thing. On Sunday night, we're having a cuddle party, which is this – it's been this whole standard thing that's been going on for, like, a while now. But the idea behind a cuddle party is you get together and you cuddle and you don't have sex. And as someone who goes to, you know, orgies, it might be odd that I want to go to this, right? It seems like it, you know.
Well, no, Pepper, I think it's, you know, we've been to orgies.
I know, totally.
I want to just cuddle.
Well, in the last one I went to, I actually had a great time. It's great for the socializing. Like, you just sort of sit around, you snuggle, you're touching people, which you don't normally get to do while socializing, so it breaks down a lot of barriers.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's really good that way. Much like I think you've said, swinging breaks down barriers because, you know, you've had sex with people.
Yeah, it changes things.
Sure.
Right. It's like that, only cuddling.
Whole different conversational dynamic.
In fact, yeah. But it's less threatening to people as well because, you know, some people are picky. They don't want to have sex with a lot of people, but they're probably okay cuddling with them.
Well, and that's something that's really cool, too, is that it's not even about being picky. It's if you don't have, like, in swinging, when you meet people, there's often this, you know, end game mentality with them that if you're meeting them at a party, it's okay, am I interested in fucking them? Or am I interested in fucking somebody else? And then sometimes you don't spend a lot of time with people that you're not interested in fucking because you don't have a lot of time sometimes.
Right. So there's sort of whole, perhaps, categories of people that you're not spending time with.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But then you can... Because you don't have to worry about that being the end game. The end game is just, maybe I want to give him a hug.
Right, exactly. It's not at all
goal, and I think that's very cool.
It's very comfy. I was surprised by how much I enjoyed it. So yeah, we're doing that. We have at one play party on the docket, and we're probably going to try to get another one in, maybe a more kink-oriented one. We are holding... So there's this party I've been holding, which I think I mentioned earlier, called Love Triangle, that's been going about 2 years now. We hold it once every 3 months. It's a dance club. It's, again, not a sexual space, but it's a club, so I guess maybe it is a sexual space. It's not a space you have sex in. And, you know, we just had a great time with this club. We average about 200 people. We sock it in to this little place down the Mission in San Francisco. Hmm. And we're going to be holding one of those Saturday of the conference. So people are just going to sort of tool it on over and check it out. And because the conference is in town and there's all the usual people coming as well, I'm hoping to really make it a rager. We are going to party ridiculously. My goal for this conference is like no sleep.
Excellent.
Yay, no sleep that conference. Sounds so fantastic. Yes.
But before that, on Saturday in the early evening, we're going to hold Poly Speed Dating.
Oh, very cool.
Which I don't know if I've told you guys about. It started as a joke and turned into an awesome way to meet people. We run this crazy computer algorithm, so you can actually, when you're registering, you put in things like, oh, I'm looking to meet these genders, perhaps, or this gender.
Yes.
Yeah, I know. Like, normal speed dating is kind of a mess or tends to be very heteronormative. This is, we actually deal with your preferences, and we have other questions on there, like, you know, are you kinky? Are you not kinky? Are you looking for people who are not kinky or are kinky? Stuff like that. And that's going to be, you know, early Saturday evening to give people a chance to meet. And then later on the weekend, they'll see those same people again, perhaps at the party later that night.
Very cool.
Yeah. So, and in addition, we're going to do a bunch of like little social things up in the hotel's hospitality suite and stuff like that. So lots of meeting people.
I can't wait. This is going to be awesome.
Yeah, we're going to give you the full San Francisco exposure. We've been talking about it so long, right? We owe you a weekend of insanity.
Yeah, well, Shira apparently has all sorts of things on my docket. So, terrifying.
Well, I'm sure,
but exciting.
I'm sure, Ginger, that you will challenge us as well.
I will challenge you.
You'll bring it, whatever it might be.
Oh, Ginger always brings it.
That's the thing.
Oh, yeah. Oh yeah. Oh yeah. I when I hear no sleep, I sigh a deep sigh of relief. So, it's nice to know that there'll be the wild things will be out, because that's, you know, I just start waking up at like 11 p.m. maybe. So, we'll do the fun stuff during the day and then we'll do the really fun stuff at night, and sounds great.
How can our guests come to see this?
To www.open. sorry, let me say that again. www.open-sf.org. And here's the thing that we haven't even been talking about, right? Like, you know, classes, the sort of sexuality classes we've been talking about, they are expensive. They tend to cost $20 a head, and then you learn about this one thing, and you have to like drive an hour the next time and pay another $20 and learn about this one thing per person. The conference itself right now is only $60. And that does not get you into everything. But it gets discounts on everything it doesn't get you into. Like the play parties, it'll make it slightly cheaper. Right?
Yes.
And these are San Francisco play parties. They're already pretty cheap compared to, say, a lot of swinger parties, actually. So yeah, $60 until May 1st. That is the magic date. At that point, it goes up to $80. And, you know, if you're coming with three people, which you should be, because it's a non-monogamy conference, then that's, you know, $60-$80 worth of difference. So we're really encouraging people to register soon. And registration is on the website. It's all just a happy little ticket buying process. And the hotel is almost full. So get there as well.
Yes, because you want to join us in the sexy hotel.
Right. The room parties. Yes. Or something like this, are out of control. If they're smart, they will be sticking us all on the same floor, and I think they are, actually.
excellent.
That sounds delicious.
Because, you know, they probably don't want us mixing it up with Boy Scouts of America on the 14th floor or whatever that's... Whatever.
Oh, let's...
There's always something, right?
Let's mix it up with the Boy Scouts of America.
No.
I was going
to
say...
I'm ready to throw down with the fucking Boy Scouts of America.
That's right.
I think we'll have to paint the windows dark.
Good Lord.
I mean, at least our room.
Oh.
Well, thank you, Pepper, for joining us and talking to us about sex positive education, and OpenSF just is going to be a fucking awesome time.
Right.
I'm very excited about it. So listeners, if you have any questions for us or for Pepper or about OpenSF, you can like us on Facebook at facebook.com/theswingset. You can follow us all on Twitter, Swingset Life, Ginger and the Prof, Shira B. Katz, Dylan_Swingset, and Freak Sexual for Pepper. And you can tweet Shira and say how much you missed her in the second half of the show, because I know I did.
We all missed her.
Because she's awesome. You can email us at contact@lifeontheswingset.com. Give us a call, leave us a voicemail, send us a text, 573-55-SWING. That's 573-557-9464. If you leave us a voice question, we will answer it on the air. So thanks, guys. It was an awesome conversation here.
Thank you.
And thank you all for swinging by. When it comes to online dating, you at home have a lot of options available to you. But we here at Life on the Swing Set recommend Cassidy.com. We've tried many websites in the past, and while most are adequate and some are even pretty good, the one that we keep coming back to is Cassidy.com. And there are a few reasons for that. First of all, and most important to me, is ease of use. You want to put a picture on your page? You know how to do it. It's intuitive. It's built in. It's Facebook for non-monogamy. Cassidy also has one of the most aggressive campaigns out there to get the most people all around the world onto the site. Right now, potential playmates are scattered throughout regional websites. Wouldn't it be awesome if they were all in one place so you could search one site and find absolutely everyone you were interested in playing with? Well, that's where the campaign for Cassidy comes in. Cassidy need not be your only site, but we recommend you give it a try. And if you sign up using the link on our page, you support Life on the Swing Set, so we can continue bringing you what's been called the best non-monogamy podcast out there. And if that's not incentive enough, if you join Cassidy, you get to see my wife's tits. How can you argue with that? Cassidy.com. Okay, I'm going to wrap it up. Sound good?
Yes.
Okay.
Yep.
I'm so excited. Too. I want to go right now.
Well, it's soon.
2 months. A little less, actually.
Less than
2 months.
Oh, we had to do the getting tickets.
Oh, getting tickets, yes.
Yeah.
You're listening to a Swingset podcast. Hear more at lifeontheswingset.com.